You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We're kicking off a brand new series today called I Said This, You Heard That. Can any of you relate to that? Have you ever said something and the other person just heard you totally different from what you were trying to say? This happens to me and Amy all the time. For example, I'll be at home in my office working. I'll get a text, hey, it's 3 o'clock. It's time to go pick up the boys. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm in the middle of a really important project. And Amy will be like, hey, I told you that today was your day to pick the boys up off the bus. And I'm like, I didn't hear you say that. Or she'll send me to the garage to get something. Come on, how many of you married men can relate to this? When you get sent on an errand, on a wild goose chase, I'll go to the garage and I'm looking for something and I'll literally call Amy, like in the same house, we're both home, like I'm in the garage, I can't find this thing, where did you say it was? And she's like, I told you, it's on the third shelf in that one spot, like right there. And sure enough, there it is. But I'm like, I didn't hear you say that. I had a friend the other day who posted on Facebook, she said, Alexa should be able to settle our arguments. Come on, Alexa hears everything else that we speak, right? She sets up the orders that we need from Amazon, and she's like, Alexa should be able to settle our arguments. She said, the other day, I sent my husband to the store to get white salt, regular white salt. I told him twice, and he came home with pink Himalayan salt. And she was like, can't Alexa just like play back our argument so we could settle this once and for all? I said this, you heard that. I think most of us can relate to that phrase. If you've ever said the wrong thing or said the right thing the wrong way, then you know how quickly your mouth can get you into trouble, how it can make a really big mess. So for the next few weeks in this series, we're going to be talking about communication. We're going to be looking at what the scriptures have to say about communication. Today, I want to talk to you about how to avoid miscommunication. How many of you know that communication involves two things? What's said and what's heard. Come on, not just what's said, but also what's heard. There are two important aspects of communication. You know, Dale Carnegie famously said that 90% of all management problems can be summed up as one thing, miscommunication. Miscommunication has caused all kinds of problems in the history of the world. It's caused wars. Miscommunication has caused companies to fail, family members to no longer speak to each other. It's ruined marriages. Why? All because of one thing, miscommunication. And so today we're going to look at a scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote about communication. Now, let me set this up for you. The Apostle Paul is writing his famous letter to the Ephesians, to these Christians living in the city of Ephesus, and he wanted them to be able to better love each other with their words. And so he writes this scripture, and this is going to be our key verse for this series. Let's look at it. Ephesians 4:29. Here's what it says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Now, stop right there. When I was a kid, and I heard that phrase, unwholesome talk, I thought this meant like curse words, like dirty words. Like, don't say any curse words or your parents are going to put soap in your mouth. They might even punish you, spank your butt. But that's not exactly what Paul's talking about here. The literal meaning of unwholesome words are words that don't make someone else whole. Words that are actually unhealthy or unhelpful. So Paul says this, do not let any unwholesome words come out of your mouths. Let's finish it out. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And so Paul says to us that our communication is meant to benefit other people. It's about our words building others up according to their needs. See, if your communication doesn't build someone else up according to their needs, it'll actually become unwholesome and hurt that person. For example, think of some of the words that your parents may have spoken to you when you were a kid. I think some of you guys can identify with this. Did your parents ever say something like, hey, why can't you study and get good grades like your sister? Well, maybe your sister was naturally more academically gifted than you were. Maybe you were more naturally gifted at something else. Or maybe you were one of those creative types. Come on, we're the creative people. You were always drawing something, building something, making like the masterpiece Lego, you know, achievement of the universe in your room. And your parents were really spick and span, really neat people. And they're like, hey, why is your room always so messy? Why can't you clean up all this mess? And you were just expressing your creativity. And their words actually hurt you. Can I just be honest and make a confession today? There have been times that I have said things that have hurt the people I love the most, my wife and my kids. Why? Because I was speaking according to my needs and not their needs. And so here's a key idea that I want you to put in your notes today if you're taking notes. If you want to love others well, you've got to learn to speak their language. If you want to love others well, you've got to learn to speak their language. See, most of us communicate according to our needs. But what if you actually communicated according to their needs? What if we actually learned to speak the words that the other person that we're in a conversation with, that they needed to hear? How would that change things? Think about this. How would that change things in your relationships professionally, the way you relate to your boss or your coworkers? How would that change your relationship with your parents, or for you married people, the way you communicate with your spouse or your in-laws or your kids? So this is what we're going to talk about in this series for the next few weeks. Now, this past summer, our staff actually worked through this whole idea, this study on I Said This, You Heard That. And it's actually based on a workbook that Kathleen Edelman wrote. She's a Christian professional counselor, and she really wrote a great workbook that's designed to help people do this very thing, learn how to speak wholesome words that build others up. And so we worked through this study as a staff together this summer. It was really great for us, been really helpful for us and for me and Amy as a married couple. And so we're going to invite you to do this study for the next few weeks with your life group. So back to the question that we asked before. How do we learn how to speak according to the other person's needs, right? We said we have to speak the other person's language. How do we do that? And why do the words that we use land on some people differently than other people? Why is it that you can say the same thing and it gets you good results with one person, but it doesn't work with the other person? It causes a miscommunication, a communication problem. And here's the simple answer. Are you ready? This is going to help some of you guys out big time today. And here's why. We all have different temperaments. We all have different temperaments. You hear and speak out of your temperament. Now, there's a big difference between your temperament and your personality. Okay, your personality is the what. It's the what. Your personality is a snapshot of your behavior, of your feelings, of your emotions at a certain time in your life. Your personality is fluid and changes. You're not the same person now that you were when you were a kid, thank God, right? Your personality can change some over time. But your temperament is really fixed. Your temperament is the why. Your temperament is the why behind the what of your personality. Now, how many of you are familiar with the four classic temperaments? These have been around since ancient times. Maybe you've heard of them before. Sanguine, choleric, melancholic, phlegmatic. I know that's a mouthful. These have been around for years. In fact, an ancient Greek doctor named Hippocrates first identified these and named these. And he named each of these four temperaments according to the four humors of the body, the four basic fluids of the body. He thought that the different temperaments had something to do with how much you had of each of these humors. Of course, modern science has proven that this has much more to do with your psychology. So we have this poster over here to help us out. And the top two here, the sanguine is the yellow. By the way, Kathleen Edelman did something brilliant. Because these are really a mouthful, she color-coded each of these, which makes it just so really easy to use. So the top two here, the yellow, the sanguine, and the red, caloric, these are extroverts, okay? Extroverts process their thoughts and their feelings outward. Oftentimes, they speak before they think. I'm an external processor. I'm actually a red. So a lot of times, you know, I'm somebody who processes verbally out loud. I'll be in a staff meeting sometime with our church staff, and I'll say something. I'm not even sure if I believe what I'm saying. I'm processing out loud. I'm an extrovert. That's what extroverts do. The phlegmatic is the green. The melancholic is the blue. They're here on the bottom. They're introverts. These two down here tend to process more internally. Now, the red and the blues tend to be more task-oriented, just naturally task-oriented. This doesn't mean they don't like people. It just means that they naturally gravitate toward tasks, whereas the yellow and the green, the sanguine and phlegmatics, they're more naturally people-oriented. So can you begin to identify yourself already? How many of you are already recognizing which one you are just on this brief description? Now, you can take a personality assessment, a temperament assessment at our website to help you determine which one you are. So if you go to our homepage and scroll down, down to the section where it says, I said this, you heard that. We have a free version, a link to a free version of a temperament test that you can take, as well as the paid version that goes along with Kathleen Edelman's workbook. So I want to encourage all of you, your homework today is to go to the website after this message and take the temperament assessment. Some of you might be surprised, but I bet most of you are already beginning to recognize yourself according to our poster over there. All right, so here's what I want to do today. I want to give you three keys to help you choose your words. Three keys to help you choose your words in a gracious way, in a wise way, so that we can speak in a way that builds others up. This is a really good chance for you to take some notes. Good opportunity for you to get out your phones and get out the Redemption app and take some notes today, because we want to be people who choose our words wisely to build others up. Here's the first thing. Number one, your temperament determines the words you speak. Your temperament has a very large part in determining the words that you speak. So let's go back over here to our poster, okay? Go back over here and talk about how our temperaments determine the words that we speak. See, the yellows speak the language of people and fun. Yellows are bubbly. They're people-oriented. They're the life of the party. The reds speak the language of power and control. These are the very strong leader, natural leadership types. This is me. I'm a red over here. The blues speak the language of perfection and order. My wife Amy's a blue. Everything has its place. Everything has to be orderly. And then the phlegmatics, the greens, they speak the language of calm and harmony. Let's just have peace and love and calm and harmony. And so these are the temperaments. These are the natural words that we tend to speak. So think about this as you're thinking about what color you might be. And you can see how this determines how you relate to people. For example, in my household, my oldest son, Aaron, who's a yellow, by the way, when he asks us, hey, can I go hang out with my friends? His mom, Amy's natural response, because she's a blue, is who's going to be there? Is it going to be safe? She wants to make sure it's going to be safe, right? Me, I'm a red, so I'm kind of cool with it. I'm like, yeah, that's fine. You can hang out with your friends. But I'm like, but am I the one who's driving you? Because I'm in the middle of a really important project because I'm task-oriented. So you can see how this plays out in your relationships, maybe in your family dynamics. So these are the languages, the core motivators. Yellows often speak with, they're animated, they're fun, they're really people-oriented. So yellows might sound something like this: that's awesome. Or who's going to be there, because they want to know who's going to be there and who they can hang out with, because they're the life of the party. The reds often speak with bold, confident, and controlling words. They sound like this: I'll do it. Let's go. Come on, let's go. We're running late. That's a red. Reds like to be in charge. Greens often speak words like this. They're very easygoing, very, very unenthusiastic and patient words like, no big deal. And where do you want to eat? Wherever, right? That's a green. And then the blues often speak with detailed, measured, and thoughtful words. Are you sure we can trust these people? Is it going to be safe? That's a blue, right? That's the language of blues. So let me illustrate this real quick. I'm going to step back over to the poster here. Let me illustrate this. Can you imagine you're going out to eat after church with a group of friends, and you know somebody says, hey, let's go out to eat, and hey, where do you guys want to go? What's the green's response? I don't know. I'm good with whatever, right? The red, who's very decisive, let's go to that new Mexican restaurant. Let's go check it out. What's the yellow's response? The yellow's like, sure, that sounds great. Hey, let's invite those new people in church today. Come on, the more the merrier, right? The yellows are the life of the party. And then the blue is like, is it going to be safe? Is everybody going to be wearing a mask? I'm not going unless everybody's wearing a mask. Those are the four different personalities. You can picture how that would play out. And so remember that our words are motivated by our temperaments. They in large part determine the words we speak. And the more you understand yourself and others, the better you can apply Ephesians 4:29. Let's read it out loud again together. Here's what it says. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Not benefit us, not according to our needs, but according to their needs. The better you understand your temperament, the better you understand the temperament of others, the more you can speak according to their needs and benefit everybody who listens. All right, here's the second thing. The first thing is your temperament determines the words you speak. Here's the second thing. Your temperament determines the words you need to hear, the kind of words you need to hear. You ever meet somebody, maybe you make a new acquaintance or a new friend, and you're talking to that person, and it's like their words just scratch your itch. It's like you just click with this person, like, yeah, this person just gets me. Come on, ladies, you meet some new guy that you're really into, he just gets me. He just gets me. Why is that? Because they're speaking the words that you need to hear. So I have another poster for you guys over here. Let me switch this out. And this helps us understand the words that we need to hear. So the yellows need to hear words that communicate approval, acceptance, attention, affection. They're very warm people. They need to be loved. Somebody just love me. Somebody give me words of affection. I'm a yellow. I'm bubbly. I need people in my life. That's the yellow. And then the reds need words of loyalty, a sense of control, words that communicate a sense of control, appreciation, credit for work. Amy teases me about this all the time because I'm a red. She's like, whenever you're finished doing the dishes, you have to let everybody know so I can give you your little gold store, you know, because you want to be appreciative for your work. And then the blues need to have words that communicate safety, sensitivity, support, space, and silence. My wife, Amy's a blue. She needs me to speak in words that are sensitive to her. I'm not naturally a sensitive person. I'll just speak what's on my mind. But she needs me to communicate in a way that's sensitive to her needs. And then the greens, their needs are words that communicate harmony, worthiness, lack of stress, like take the stress off of them, and words of respect. So you can see how these really have practical applications in life. I mean, can you imagine how this has a practical application at work. If you're on a team working with others and your coworkers, right, they're not all motivated by the same thing. They don't all have the same needs. You don't motivate a yellow the same way you motivate a red, right? Because a yellow needs to be accepted. Am I accepted? Am I in? Am I part of the cool kids club? But a red needs to be really respected for their work. They need words that kind of scratch the itch of respect. And a blue needs to know that they're in a safe space, right? They need space and silence. And the green, like, they need harmony, man. It's all peace and love. Like, I need a really cool, like, work environment where we can all get along. So hopefully that helps you out. So it's not just about the words that you speak, but it's the kind of words that you need to hear. And so this chart really shows the difference between personality and temperament, because every word here is, or every behavior is motivated by these core needs. So let me give you an example from parenting, okay? My middle son, Michael, is a red, like me, my third grader, Michael. Now, when you tell Michael something, like, he always wants to know what's going on. So, Michael, we're going to go for a hike later on today. He'll remind you about it all day. Like, what time are we going? Where are we going? Hey, Dad, are we still going for a hike? Because, like, he wants to be kind of in control of what's happening. He wants to be in the know. And so we've learned over time, like, we have to kind of give Michael that space to kind of be a part of decisions. Like, for example, picking out his clothes for school. We learned years ago that we got to let Michael, you know, have some say in picking out his clothes, or there's going to be a tension there. And so we've learned, okay, let Michael pick out his clothes. Michael, you can pick out your clothes. You kind of know some of the parameters we have, and maybe you even want to help pick out your younger brother's clothes as well. Naturally, I would want to tell him what clothes he can wear. But remember, it's not about my needs. It's about his needs, right? The idea is not just to understand yourself, but to understand others so you can build them up. Then here's the third idea. Here's the third idea. Every word that you use is a word you choose. Come on, if you're taking notes, put that in your notes today. Every word that you use is a word that you choose. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death. Come on, we can use our words to speak life into people or to tear others down. We get to choose how we use our words. And knowing what we know about the temperaments now, you can begin to apply what you've learned when you're in a conversation. So let me just give you a few practical tips here, okay? So we can start practicing this whole yellow, red, blue, green thing. When you're in a conversation, few tips on how you can choose your words wisely. First of all, take a pause. Come on, everybody, just take a deep breath. We need to learn how to take a pause when we're in a conversation, especially when we're in an argument. The Apostle James said that we ought to be slow to speak and quick to listen. How many of you know that we usually do the opposite? We're really quick to speak and slow to listen. But no. We need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. There's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth. Maybe God was trying to show us something. And so this means that you have to sacrifice your right to get your point across so that you can listen to the other person and communicate according to their needs. So first of all, we're going to take a pause. Then we're going to give grace. We're going to extend grace to the other person. We're going to recognize that the other person might be wired differently than us. They might be a different color than us. Usually when we're communicating, when we're in a conversation, especially when we're in an argument, we're only experiencing it from the point of view of our needs, what we need. But it's not about our needs. It's about their needs. We want to recognize that the other person might be wired differently than us, and they need something different than what we need. And then here's the last thing. We're going to learn to celebrate the difference. We're going to celebrate the difference. When we recognize that they're different than us, we're not going to put them down because of it, but we're going to recognize that they're different than us, and we're going to celebrate that person's difference. I'm on a journey to put this into practice. As Amy and I have discovered our different temperaments, that I need to recognize I can celebrate her difference because she's actually strong in some areas where I'm weak, and I'm actually strong in some areas where she's weak. Their weakness is my strength, and my strength is that person's weakness. And so allow them to be them. Allow that person to be whatever color God made them. Recognize their strengths and weaknesses. Now, naturally, there's a question that comes up when we talk about this. And here it is. Is one temperament better than the other? Is there any special temperament that's any better than the other? And sometimes we kind of drift toward thinking that one temperament is better than the other. And here's the truth. The answer is no. There is no temperament that's any better than the other. Every one of our temperaments has a certain set of strengths and a certain set of weaknesses, and that's why we need each other. And when we begin to recognize these different colors in other people, these different temperaments in other people, whether it's in a family situation or a work situation, then we can really get the best in each other and lean on those different strengths and weaknesses. So let's look at our key verse again, with this idea of having power to choose our words. Here's what it says, Ephesians 4:29. Notice the beginning of it. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. You have a choice in any conversation, in every conversation. You actually have a choice to either just let your words come out and just vomit all over the other person verbally, or to actually craft your words according to the other person's needs. We have the ability to make a choice. And so here's another thing I want to tell you. Never use your temperament as an excuse. Never use your temperament as an excuse. Hey, I'm Italian. That's just the way I am. I'm passionate, right? Like, I speak my mind. I'm hot-blooded. That's just the way I am. You need to get used to it. No. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can choose our words. We don't have to just let the words come out of our mouths and then go on and make excuses for ourselves after we've, like, you know, verbally assaulted the other person. And so let's close by reading our key scripture out loud together. Come on, we're going to review this till it gets deep down in our hearts over the next few weeks. Ephesians 4:29, read it out loud with me. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Come on, with the help of the Holy Spirit, church, we're going to color our words according to the other person's needs, our loved ones' needs, our spouse's needs, our kids' needs, our parents' needs, our co-workers' needs, and we're going to see a breakthrough in our communication as we build others up so that it benefits everyone who listens. So let me give you some practical steps you can take, okay, to get the most out of this series and put this message into practice. I want to encourage you, go to our website today, scroll down on the homepage, find the I said this, you heard that section of our website, and take the assessment. There's the free version there, or if you want to take the more robust version of it, that's a paid version, you can do that. Maybe some of you want to order the workbook, maybe for your own family. Maybe you can use this if you work with a team at work, or some of you in a life group and you want to get the workbook, and then I want to encourage you to join a life group. The best way to get the most out of this series is to get into a life group and discuss this with a group of other people who are committed to growing spiritually along with you. I promise you, you're going to have a whole lot of fun. This is a series where you're going to laugh, You're going to learn. You're going to grow a whole lot. It's really best experience with your life group. So get signed up for a life group today. Come on, let's pray. Let's really believe for a breakthrough in our communication. How many of you want to have a breakthrough in your communication and the way you're speaking to the people that you care about the most? I know I want that. I know I'm on this journey of learning with you, and I'm really believing that the Holy Spirit is going to do a work in our lives. So would you just pray with me? Let's pray together right now. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together online today. And Lord, we want to be those who speak words that make others whole. God, we don't want to let unwholesome words come out of our mouths. In fact, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness for the times that we've allowed unwholesome words to come out of our mouths. Lord, we want to be those who speak words that build others up according to their needs so that we can benefit everyone who listens. Holy Spirit, we're asking you to help us with this. As we go on this journey over the next few weeks, God, we ask you to do a work in us to help us to learn and grow. We pray for breakthrough in the way we're communicating with the people around us. Father, I pray you do it for every person who's watching and listening today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.